Today, we wrap up our interviews with candidates for Abilene's City Council with a conversation with Ron Constantine. Constantine is not a newcomer to Abilene's political scene. He's run campaigns for mayor and for various seats on Abilene's City Council for more than a decade. Last year, Constantine completed probation related to charges stemming from paperwork filed for a 2010 political run. He's been involved in broadcasting for years, and on his filing for the current election, listed his occupation as disabled minister and poet. He joins me in the studio now. I'd like to start with your occupation. Tell us what you can about where you're a minister.
Well, as far as ministry is concerned, I've had a heart for the disabled and people that are less fortunate. Years ago, I was hurt in a car accident, and they said that I shouldn't have lived. And when I did live, they said I would never walk again. So you showed me an impossible situation. I'll show you where my God will prove you wrong. And over the years, I've donated my time to different benevolent type of agencies and stuff, things like that. What was your question?
Well, I guess I'm curious about, if you're a minister, is there a congregation that you minister to, or is it more of, volunteering your time?
I did a lot of radio. I did. Mm-hmm. I did Reverend Ron Reads the Bible for a number of years, where I just read in the Old Testament kind of sense, like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever shall believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. People just like that. Mm-hmm. And people actually tuned in to listen to me just read. And okay. I would give some commentaries and things. And then hard ministry, not so much so.
Okay.
As far as other things that I've had an interest in, people there at a disadvantage because I certainly had a hard time when I was younger. And for some reason, the Lord saw fit to give me some gifts. Maybe part of it's good genetics because my father has also done radio for years. Of course, father and my grandfather are both retired law enforcement. My dad was the public service officer for the San Diego California Highway Patrol. And so part of it, lots of work, kids. If you want to do voiceover work, it takes a lot of years of practice, but also it takes a little bit of luck. And being famous doesn't help. That doesn't hurt much either, getting certain roles. And but between those two things, I found that I had a voice that cared and that really meant it. And I think that's you can learn how to give a good talk. But if you really care about the subject that you're talking about, the substance comes a lot easier. Hope that helps.
So do you currently continue to do radio?
I still do internet radio now. Still come in. I do. I've done the Voice of Reason usually. A role that I really get a lot of requests to go in is doing a Voice of Reason. I get into certain shows. They're called preppers. Okay. And I'm not really a prepper type. I'm not all that particularly paranoid. I don't think that the little jet stream lines that you see that there are chemtrails that are there to poison you or change your DNA mm-hmm. or anything like that. And what I usually do is I play the Voice of Reason. It's like, well, I know you really think that the Second Amendment is a great thing, but do you really need an AR-15? That kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't argue with people. I find that most people, whether they're religious or political views, are usually something at least a derivative of the way they were brought up by their parents. Honor thy mother and thy father. That's one of the big ten. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people are stupid for disagreeing with me or having a different viewpoint with me. I think that the most likely thing that would happen if somebody does disagree is be nice about it and be reasonable.
Well, you've been running for elected office for quite a while in Abilene, both for mayor and for various city council positions. But it's been a little while since you've run. You didn't file until right before the deadline this time around. So was it something that you were thinking about or not sure you wanted to do this time?
Well, I've had some reservations. I had a family member that was ill. And also, I just had my fill of it for a while. But I saw some of the problems that were happening here locally with all the racial things that were going on, being part Cherokee. My father and I, we used to go to reservations when I was younger. He used to be called what's you may or may not be old enough to remember the American Indian movement, but that we would like help arbitrate arguments between Indians and, quote unquote, the government or, you know, white people. I hate to put it that way. And nobody's going to confuse me being a Cherokee, even though I am 1/6. That means I have a family member on both sides that's Cherokee, that's okay. A relation. So I don't really consider myself a person of color, but I probably think a little bit more like a Cherokee would. I spent a long time being raised by my grandmother, who was Cherokee, and I think it gives me an opportunity to see things from a perspective most people can't appreciate. And, you know, for example, you know, there's some people that say that racism doesn't exist in America. And being around my own, well, some way they're going to be my cousins in the Cherokee reservation, getting pulled out of my car and getting harassed because I'm a white guy driving around the reservation and just seeing people hate me because of the way I look, you know, and being afraid to just go around, even though they're my cousins. I don't know what it's like to be black or Hispanic or anything like that, but I certainly have a heart to understand what I know it's like for people that I really care about to dislike me simply because of the color of my skin. And I think if I can bring any kind of awareness towards that and try to be a good ambassador of both sides, I think that's something that the city council could use. Because I thought it was really cool when Anthony Williams, being an African-American, being elected mayor, a lot of my black friends, and yes, I actually do have black friends, you know, they thought it was really cool. You know, and I think it's really cool. But I think also when you have spent a long time in politics, sometimes you kind of lose sight of anything but your side. And I think what the city council really could use is somebody that is willing to look at both sides of an argument instead of being just for Hardin Simmons, just for ACU. The thing is, well, let me give you an analogy. When I used to live in Stanford, and when I went to high school and I graduated from Stanford, graduated from ACU also, but I used to love going to downtown. I don't know if you've been to downtown around where the Abilene Towers is, but it sparkles. I said, Mom, there's diamonds in Abilene. You know, there's still diamonds in Abilene. And I think even if that diamond doesn't agree with you, they still shine and they should be respected and they should be heard.
Do you feel like there is a lack of representation of diverse perspectives on the Abilene City Council that you could help with?
Diversity in perspective, yes. You know, I mean, I think that there's a lot of people. I'm much more conservative, I think, than the majority of people that are going to be on the city council. I'm not against the whole concept of the hotel. It sounds like the kind of hotel they're going to be building out there, it's a good idea. It's going to be a higher class hotel than it's out there. But I just don't believe that, I'll put it a different way. The Republican Party votes on a platform every year. And one of the things with the platform is not to subsidize local businesses using, local, state, or city government. I mean, it's on the main list. It's nothing personal. It's not that I have anything against anybody that's for the hotel. It's just, well, it's one of the main things on the Republican platform. And being a Republican, you know, we voted for this. You know, I mean, am I going to go say somebody's a rhino that's Republican in name only? Probably not. But, you know, I think that private individuals do a lot better job running businesses than municipalities. I'll stand by that. Do I hate or dislike, you know, the people that brought it up? No, just respectfully disagree.
So in doing some research, I looked at some of your Facebook posts, and one of the things that you talked about in talking about your candidacy was that you thought Abilene needs people to be nicer to each other. You suggested a 20% pay raise for police and fire and a 15% pay raise to all non-salary employees. The new bomber, which is coming to Abilene, better bus system routes and things like that. It, I think, would cost $5 to $8 million to do those pay raises. Do you think the city has that kind of money?
Well, let me explain to you why. Now, like I said, my father and my grandfather both retired lawmen. My grandfather was a former chief of police. So, you know, I got some perspective on this. The way we would come up with the money is this. If we offer, and I'm talking about standard of living raises, in other words, give them more money, but also give them better benefits. When I talk to the firemen and the police officers association, they've been not giving as much money as they've been promising as towards their retirement funds, for example. You know, and being somebody whose dad was in law enforcement, I've actually had a best friend whose dad just never came home one day. We need to protect those kind of people. We need to take care of those people. One of the things that I think that we can absorb some of that money without having to make it so blatant we need to give more money to this is if we give better benefits and give better pay, we have a lot of people that are in our, especially our police academy, that once they're done, they go someplace else. If we encourage these people to stay here because we're having to pay for them to get trained, that would offset some of the cost right there, either or find some kind of agreement. Like, for instance, I don't know, just an example. I don't know anybody in Clyde at all as far as city council or anything else like that. But if we're training somebody that wants to go to Clyde, you know, them help pay us to train that person in our police academy. That's one way you could take away a lot of money right there, because I know it costs a lot of money to train individuals like that because, well, just as my grandpa, my dad.
So you weren't suggesting an actual cash pay raise of 15% or 20%.
I was trying to, I'm standard of living. Now, whatever equals to that, because I think that the standard of living is a little bit low as per capita of this type of city. Now, I'd like to see them get the better benefits or their better pay. But the thing is I'd like them to tell me what they want. And they said the one thing that they were concerned about more than anything is allocating more money towards their retirement. So that's the reason why I'm saying that. It's not because I have this big agenda. I actually talked to the people and listened and said, well, you know, I can have all the opinion in the world what's great for the police department. But what do you think? And as far as I understood, that's what they said they wanted. You know.
Also in this post, you mentioned more programs for the elderly, the disabled. Are there specific things that you're aware of that Abilene should be paying attention to that would be helpful to the elderly or the disabled?
Well, you know, there are good programs in Abilene. It's just there are certain programs, and there are lots of programs you can get here in Abilene, but some of them are only available in one area, one specific center, like Rose Park, for example. And some people have a hard time getting from here and there. The reason I was bringing up the bus system is because they reduced the bus routes here in Abilene that they take. And people that, for whatever reason, don't have a car and have to take the bus, well, that just cut down the resources right there, how they can get from one place to another. You know, do I have anything in specifically that I'd like to see? No, but I'd like to see a little bit more parity. You know, if, you know, you live on the north side and you want to go to a program, at least have a north and south side version of each programs that give a similar kind of benefit, I suppose. We already have the buildings, you know, to have the things put up in. So I'm not asking, like, build something. And that's the other thing that might be a little different for me from some of the other people is everybody wants to build buildings. And buildings are a great thing. But I said, you know, instead of spending money on potholes, because they've already allocated $7 million to spend money on potholes, instead of spending money on holes in the ground, why don't we spend money on the people that will be filling the buildings up? You know, I think that having the new law enforcement center that they're working out there, that's great. Take care of our policemen. You know, do you really want a policeman that's just barely getting by, or do you want a happy police officer? Because I guarantee you, even people that don't like cops, not everybody does, right, wrong, or indifferent. When it's 3 o'clock in the morning and somebody's trying to break in your house, you want that policeman to want to do his job. And we need to pay those kind of people the kind of respect, and firemen too. You know, there's some really good, brave, our finest and our bravest people. You know, I think, you know, no matter what color a person is, you know, we all bleed the same color red. We need to take care of them. If they're going to more likely bleed that color red, compensate them that way.
And when you say, do you know how much police and fire, what the average salary is?
Not right off the top of my head. I mean, I kind of have a general idea, but, you know, I'm not criticizing the chief of police or anything like that. I know that they've spent a lot of money on equipment and vehicles, and that's great. I mean, if we need them, that's great too. But the thing is my platform is take care of people first, because you can have the prettiest building in the world. If the building sits stagnant, what difference does that make?
Well, you brought up the potholes, and so I believe it's a little over 7 million. Sorry, I think I got that wrong.
What's the mayor? That's what
over
the mayor
said.
Over
the next couple of years, over a little over 7
million.
He said $7
million were allocated for just this year.
Okay.
Of course, that's what he said at the State of the City address. And that's, to give you a perspective, I've done a little bit of study on this. I started the Abilene City Council Watchdog Group a number of years ago. And at one time, it was the largest municipal watchdog group in the country on Facebook. I know a little bit about city council, a little bit about it. But the thing is if I'm wrong, please don't yell at me. Just tell me I'm wrong and I'll change it. And I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to anybody in general. Because if I'm wrong, I don't want to be giving bad information. But what they're doing is they're spending a lot of extra money this year to take care of some potholes. And I understand people that are concerned about potholes and want the roads to be good and everything like that. But the thing is roads are kind of like the poor. They're always going to be there. You know, eventually it happens. And there's some things that you can do, like with the panhandling issue. Do I really think that somebody that's holding up a sign, you're really going to help that person by arresting them and giving them a fine when they're already asking you for money for food? Now, I would warn all you youngsters out there, I'm in my 40s, so, I can say this with some experience because I've done benevolence. That's helping out poor folks, that not everybody that holds up a sign is really in need. You know, some of them have habits, some of them have other things, but there are some people legitimately that need the help too. I think the last thing that they need is to be thrown in jail, because the thing is, that's only a temporary fix for the situation. I remember Mr. McAllister saying there were no homeless in Houston, which kind of still has me scratching my head, but I've been down to Houston recently, and there are definitely homeless people there. One of the things that – and this isn't a reflection on the Abilene Police Department, but the Houston Police Department started cracking down on people, trying to get them off the streets. And having them in the county jail meant that they weren't homeless. So it was they were arresting people and kept arresting people that kept doing the same things and just putting them in the county jail. And taxpayers are having to pay to house these people. Well, maybe we should put a little bit more time, a little more interest in organizations that will give this person a place to stay instead of making laws to get them off the streets.
So you'd approach that with a different angle.
I'd approach it with a different angle.
Well, the city
not
council...
being criticizing of what they're doing. I'm just saying I respectfully disagree.
The city council may be looking to reevaluate the way they've implemented the street maintenance fee. Mm-hmm. Are there changes that you would advocate in making this time around?
As far as the fees and all that and the system that I work out, I think it's a little bit high on the tax end, but it's not really one of the issues that I'm really tackling in my campaign. I think there's enough people on the board that are really more concerned about that, and I'll let them take the lead. And sometimes when you run for politics and you're involved in some of that, sometimes if it's a medical issue, you hand it over to the doctors that know about it. The whole thing is just not something that compels my heart so much. If it seems reasonable, I'll take a look over it. If it sounds good, I'll vote for it. If it doesn't, I'll, try to negotiate a better deal than voting against it first instead of saying, you're dumb, because I disagree. That is something that Abilene needs. Seeing that young lady that was not that young, I guess, but she looked like she was in her 30s. She can say thank you if she's older than that. But the one that was speaking against the library, there were a lot of people in the city council laughing at her that she'd gotten threats. Is that what Abilene's about, threatening people? And you think that's funny? Well, we're Christian people, at least I hope we are. Let's disagree respectfully. And if you don't agree with that person, that's fine. But, sometimes just being nice really goes a long way. I hope that may or may not have answered your question, but that's kind of the whole premise that I'm trying to run by. If you have a good attitude and you try to understand somebody and you talk to somebody instead of talking at somebody, it seems to make a lot of difference. City council members, bottom line, work at your pleasure. If I win, I would work at your pleasure. That would be my number one thing. And I know it sounds ambiguous, but it's really not. You know, I've seen the city council do some things that were really popular with some of the city, and I've seen them try to push some things through that the city really just didn't as a whole want. I'm not going to support something that the city as a whole doesn't want, but the thing is, I may not necessarily rally against it, but as a city councilman, what I would try to do is encourage them to come a little bit more towards the middle. Because sometimes to be effective, you have to make certain, you have to cut deals sometimes, you know, and it doesn't always have to be black or white, you know, there are shades of gray. And I think that shades of gray usually benefit the whole, the greater good, much more than just saying, I'm for the hotel, I'm against the hotel, and if you don't agree, you're dumb. How could you be so stupid? And it's like, man, I that's just not the way I'm going to do something. And it saddens me to see people act that way. Because I think that ultimately there's certain people on the city council that are for this. They're good people and they have the right intentions at heart. Maybe they're just, you know, maybe they're Democrats. I don't know. They're just not as conservative as I am. I don't know. Maybe they just weren't aware it was on the Republican Party platform. And, you know, I'm committed to saying, you know, this is a group that I decide to be in. And if I say I'm this, then I'm going to be under what they voted as a whole to be in, because sometimes what my personal interests are may not necessarily reflect the greater good. And sometimes, and well, actually all the time, when you're talking about a city council vote, you're not going to be able to change anything if you can't get the other people in that chamber to agree with you. So the best you can hope for and the best you can do is really try to get them to reason with you and get a softer version.
So earlier you touched on the idea of the Republican Party platform supporting kind of keeping government out of business. Are there any steps that you think the city should be taking to make things easier for business? Or, I mean, business is kind of small business, local business is mm-hmm. kind of the engine for employing people and paying taxes and different things like that. Is there any role for the city council to invigorate the downtown mm-hmm. or small business that you see?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And like I said, I'm not against the idea of the hotel being there. I think that I just don't like the way that they're talking about running it and financing it. But there are other ways. Ask it one more time just to make sure.
Yeah, I'm asking about not just the hotel, but downtown, you know, reinvigorating business and mm-hmm. getting businesses to come to downtown and that type of thing to expand the tax base, to expand what's going on as far as the economy and providing jobs and all of that type of thing. Is there a role for the city council or for the city of Abilene to be engaging and trying to benefit?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's easy. Well, number one, the Development Corporation of Abilene, a percentage of all sales tax that goes to everything that you buy, whether you live here or not, goes towards money that goes to getting other businesses brought here into Abilene. And what controls that is another board. I believe that the city council, anytime that board with the DCOA votes for anything that's over $250,000, it should be brought before the city council. That way, you know, there's some degree of oversights. And in other words, they can sit there and give money and help invigorate certain kind of businesses and leave other ones behind. Well, I think that since this is an appointed board, that if it's a certain degree over, maybe $250,000 may not be, maybe it should be $500,000. You know, I'd like to talk to the mayor about that a little bit more. But I think that it should be overseen, and if it's over a certain dollar amount, the people actually elected by people should be able to vote for that. And that is one way the city, and it really doesn't get a lot of press, what that money goes to. And that's one of the reasons why I was particularly against the board that was set up for the hotel, is because it's just a bunch of individuals. You know, it's not, with the exception of Norton Archibald, I don't have any problem with any of the people that were on there. I just think that we don't need another board running something that, you know, has such a direct influence on how much money our taxpayers have to pay and whether or not it's successful. I mean, those people may be the best people in the world. I don't know any of them. But the thing is, they may not be any good at all at running a hotel and cost everybody, you know, all those tax dollars that we had to pay into it. And from what I understand, the majority of the taxpayers are going to be donated or gotten from grants or other things like that. But still, ultimately, it's going to be laid in the taxpayer's lap. And I'll give you an example. Dallas just let go of a hotel that was bigger, but not necessarily much nicer than the one we're planning. And the taxpayers are stuck with $659 million, I believe, in money that they're going to have to come up with somewhere else, because they're just saying this is a money pit. We're not making money off of it. We're just washing our hands of it, and we'll just try to find a way to get money for what we've lost, you know, somewhere else. Now, granted, you know, DFW, they have a lot more money to be gotten off of property taxes, mm-hmm. you know, so that number really wouldn't be characteristic of something that would be here in Abilene.
Sure.
But it gives you an idea how it didn't work in a marketplace that's, well, pretty close. And it gives me pause.
So, as I mentioned, you have run for office several times. What do you think voters need to hear so that they decide to choose your box on the ballot?
Well, for one thing, with the exception of one candidate, I'm older than everyone else. You know, I think that a lot of people want to say what's popular, what's funny, or what's smart. It's like being a DJ. I've probably 1,500 hours is kind of my estimate of how long I've been on air live for years. Being all that is important, and being all that is important if you're going to be popular. But the thing is you have to be smart too. And you can't say the kind of things. I believe in honesty and integrity, obviously. But, you know, sometimes you just have to be mindful that, you know, just because you agree something with something doesn't mean that you're right, number one. I mean, you could have misunderstood. You may have just been lazy and listened to somebody else, you know. And I'm all for people who want to sit in a pew and listen to the preacher. But, you know, maybe you should go home after the lesson's done, crack the Bible, and make sure you understood it too. And politics are the same way. It's not that I'm saying don't trust Anthony Williams, but, you know, if Anthony Williams says something, you know, go and look it up. See, you know, does it support everything? You know, I'm not picking on Anthony. He's a good guy. He's only a year older than I am. So, of course, he's a sagely wise individual. I gave one of my debates. I had my 47th birthday. Not my ideal way to spend a birthday, but it wasn't that bad. So hopefully that kind of answers you the kind of general feel that I have.
Well, thank you for coming in for the interview.
All right. I appreciate it very much.
Ron Constantine is one of five candidates on the ballot for Place 6 on the Abilene City Council. You can hear an extended version of this interview, as well as all of the other interviews with Place 6 and Place 5 candidates, on our website, kacu.org. Election Day is May 4th. I'm Heather Claiborne. This is KACU.